that better?
Yeah, thank you, sorry. So good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all on a very hot morning, and especially as it's August and a lot of people are away. So after the service, there'll still be teas and coffees in the lounge, so feel free to stay. And on the front of the notice sheet, I've been asked to say that it is the wrong date, but everything inside is the correct information. We know it's the 4th, not the 11th, but everything inside is correct. Okay, so is there anybody, young or old, that has a birthday either just been or coming up? Oh! Hello! Come down. Oh. How old are you?
10.
How old are you?
10.
10? And what's your name?
Jennifer.
And when's your birthday? When is your birthday? Is it today?
No.
No? Have you had it or is it coming?
August the 5th.
So tomorrow?
No. First.
Sorry, so you've just had it. That's good. Did you want to choose a present from the box? Yeah? Help yourself. Don't touch the football. Have a good rummage. Oh, there's more. Oh, who else? Nicola. You wanted the dark. Oh, and Andy. Everyone. Ah, on the 1st. Are you still looking? You can move everything. It's fine. Have a good rummage. Yeah, we can go now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. You're having a football. Good choice. We open the service in prayer. Lord, we commit this service to you. We commit everyone taking part, big or small, people at the back, people playing, singing, Nathan as he preaches, and all the children and the children's workers. Please let something resonate with all of us in the service, whether it's in a song or something someone says. And just be with us this week as we may get asked events that have happened, where was God in this? Give us wisdom to give the right answers for those with broken hearts. Be with us all and be with the kids at the camp and everyone away that they have safe journeys. Thank you. Amen. Right, we're going to start the service. You can sit, stand or sit, whatever. We don't mind. We're going to start the service with Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, be all else to me, save thou my heart.
Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So we're going to sing two songs now. What a Beautiful Name and Because of You. And the song, the second verse on Because of You really speaks from that verse. No more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more tears. No more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, and no more death. First of, yeah. Sorry.
What a beautiful name.
children are now going to leave us and go to their group. And we're going to sing Sovereign Over Us. Sorry, if there's any visiting children here, let us know and we can point you in the right direction if anyone wants to go.
Thank you.
Lord God, there are so many things to bring before you this morning. And Lord, we pray for those who mourn in many situations. Lord, we pray for that terrible situation in Stockport, for the families of the children and the families of the young man. And Lord, we pray that you would intervene, and Lord, that you would cease the violence that has followed on from there, and the damage and the disruption to people's daily living. And Lord, that people feel unsafe in their own community. So Father, we do ask that you would lay your hand over that situation, that your peace would return. And Lord, we pray that you would, in the local area, Lord, that you would raise up Christians who would support those families, that the local churches would play their part. And Father God, we pray that you would also continue to bless and lift all of us up. Lord, we know that there is mourning during this week. Father, that there is sickness and illness and hospital visits and appointments that all still go on. And Lord, we know that you care. You watch over us as individuals. And Lord, that you have your hand on our lives. And Lord, we do pray, especially for De Lacey and her family, and Lord, for Anne and Richard and the family there. Lord, we pray that you would be with them as they go through daily tasks, but Lord, as they go through other things too. And Father, we pray that you would really, really be with Ricky and the young people at the moment, Lord, that they would be in a celebration meeting, Lord, that they would be in a service somewhere. And Father, we pray for them throughout the week. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to each person, Lord, that you would have a message for them. It doesn't matter whether it comes from a book or a leaflet or something that they pick up or one of the speakers, Father, but you would give your challenge to their life at this situation. And Lord, we pray that if there is someone there who isn't yet a Christian, that they would come to know you. So Father, protect them physically and safety-wise, but Lord, have your hand over them all. And Lord, we pray for the whole festival that's going on. Lord, we ask that you would make it a real blessing to all of the young people that are there. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us through this week, Lord, that you would guide us through this new month, and Father, that we would continue to serve you in this place. Amen.
Got two more songs now before Nathan comes to give us the word. Holy Forever and Waymaker. So stand, sit, whatever you like. It's absolutely fine. I know it's hot.
Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to come.
Your name is the greatest, your name. Let's go to our great God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this intimate time of praise and worship to you. Lord, collectively, we've gathered together this morning. And although it's wonderful to see each other, it's wonderful to have fellowship and to share with each other. But most of all, we have come, Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus, to offer praise and worship and gratitude from our hearts for your grace and for your mercy, for sustaining us, for watching over us, for blessing us. Oh Lord, we thank you for all that you continue to do in our lives. And Lord, as we come now to hear a word from you, we thank you that you still speak from eternity. We thank you that your word is relevant for every time and every season and every generation. And we thank you now that you are here through your Holy Spirit. And we humbly ask that you would just anoint your servant preacher now, afresh with the precious Holy Spirit, that I may minister boldly and effectively in your service. I have no power of my own, but only the power that you give and bless me. So would you anoint this time of sharing and pray for each and every one now that we would receive from you today. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful and mindful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. We ask these things in no other name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good to see you all. Very good to see you. I know it's a warm day, and I see some of the fans going and our attempts to cool down, but it's so good to be here, good to be in the presence of the Lord. Do you know, I was reflecting this morning in prayer and thinking back to just a few years ago when we were hit with a pandemic, and meeting together in this fashion was not possible. Do you remember those days? Having to log on to Facebook, myself and Chris and others having to come here and preach to the chairs. Oh, that was a time. And of course, one of the hallmarks of the pandemic season was, of course, having to cope and adapt with distance, social distancing, being distant from our family members, distant from our friends, requirements put on us by the government. You can't do this. You can't go here. You can't meet together in more than 5 or 6 or however it was back then. And in that same vein, as much as it was challenging for us to be socially distanced from those that we love. Remember those Christmases that we couldn't gather together around a table with our loved ones? I mean, it was just traumatic. And loved ones who died and the funerals, they couldn't host everyone. And it was just really a really challenging time. But in the same vein, I believe, and I've been having conversations with many and received so many questions lately, Nathan, what happens when I feel distant from God? What happens when I just don't feel connected to God? I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I've confessed Christ, I believe that I'm filled with the Spirit. But I'm going through a season in my life where I feel God is distant. What happens when the believer in God feels distant? And it's from those conversations that I've been having and that's spawned this series that we're going to go through over the next several weeks. How do we overcome distance in our walks with God? And today I'm asking the question, are your problems driving you away from God? Throughout this series, we're going to highlight several different areas that can cause distance, us to feel distance from God. And today, for our first sermon, we're going to be looking at our problems. Is our problems driving us away, causing a hedge between that relationship and closeness with God? I want to call your attention today to 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to look at a passage here in the Old Testament of a character and a prophet of the Lord who who himself felt distant from God in a season in his life. And it reads like this in 1 Kings 19, verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. This was just after the wonderful miracle on Mount Carmel when that great showdown took place. Do you remember that showdown with Elijah and the prophets of Baal and Asherah? And there was a battle to see which God would answer by fire. And of course, it was Elijah who the God of Israel came out and responded to his prayer and consumed the sacrifice. And the false gods, that those prophets were all put to shame. And this is after this. And it says in verse 2, so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, the false gods, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Elijah was afraid, ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed, here it is, that he might die. Prayed that the Lord would end his life. And look what he has to say. I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Here we see a prophet of the Lord called to serve the Lord, who had just performed a wonderful, wonderful miracle, used of the Lord to take on so many prophets. And yet still he was all by himself, just faith in God. But now in the very next chapter, Elijah has reached a state where he felt so distant with God and in life that he said, you know what? Just take my life. I've had enough, Lord. I'm no better than my ancestors. Amen. Are your problems driving you away from God? Friends, I believe that whenever we come to church or we listen to sermons online or whether it be in person, there are three types of responses that you and I can receive or experience when we hear sermons, when we hear a message from the Bible. Number one, whenever we hear a message, we can claim and attest to the message that I have been through it. In other words, when we hear the word, we say, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, preacher. I've been there, I've done it, and I've got the t-shirt. And then secondly, that's speaking from what has happened, I've been through it. But secondly, when we hear a message, it can sometimes hit us and we think, wow, I'm going through this right now. I am experiencing this right now. It's almost as if, preacher, you have been eavesdropping in my house and in my life because you're speaking exactly what I'm going through right now in my life. But then third and finally, when we hear a message, not only can we say I've been through it, been there, or I'm going through it right now, but third and finally, when we hear a message, we can say, I may go through this in the future. So I'm not going through it right now. I haven't gone through this in the past. But don't overlook the message because it may hit me in the future. And by hearing the word, you can say, I can put that in the refrigerator because one day I may be able to draw from this because I may have to go through it in the future. And with the subject before us today, overcoming distance, I believe feeling distant from God is something that each and every one of us have either faced in the past, are facing right now in our lives, or some of us will have to experience distance in the future. A sense of spiritual apathy, a sense of feeling just alone in our walk with God. It is not that we are denying that God is here or with us or exists. But could it be that there's something that we're going through in our lives that we're asking the question, God, where are you in this? Terry mentioned it earlier. Sometimes the problems that we face in our lives or the problems that we see all around us, they can cause us to ask the question, God, where are you? Because when we read about you and your deity and your presence and your power and your attributes, it seems like what we're going through does not correlate to how I feel right now. Father, I just feel distant in this season of my life. And could it be that some of us here this morning are going through that right now? We do believe in Jesus Christ. We have yielded our lives to him. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are baptized. And we're serving the Lord as best as we can possibly do. But yet still, the problems that we're going through in this season in our life, we're asking the question, God, where are you? Why do I feel distant from you in this season of my life? And could it be that we have pondered that question in our hearts and at various moments in our lives? And perhaps we've even directed frustration to God at times in our lives. Perhaps we've wondered, Father, you promised in your word that you will never leave nor forsake me. So why do I feel so distant from you? In fact, Jesus promised his core team, his disciples, that he would always be with them, even until the very end of the age. Yet for many of his disciples, they were launched into the public sphere of ministry, and they had to go through some challenging moments in their lives. And could it be that they even wondered and pondered the question, God, where are you? You promised to always be there, but I just don't feel connected to you in this season of my life. We often recite scriptures like Psalm 94:19, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. We quote verses like 1 Peter 5 and 7, cast all your cares to the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. But what happens, church, when we can quote these verses with regularity, we can quote and recite them, yet in our own lives, in seasons and moments of our lives, we feel so distant and far away from God. We're struggling to experience and feel the refreshing of his presence. We're struggling to connect with God in prayer. We're struggling to connect even in the service. We're here in body, we're here in person, but our mind and our heart is far away from being here. Feels like just everything is going over our heads. My question today, have you ever been there? Have you ever felt distant? Have you ever felt distant from God? And my question today is one of transparency. Because, as I said before, we know that God is always there. We know that he's promised never to leave nor forsake us. But the reality is that in all of our lives, myself included, sometimes we can go through some really difficult moments that we feel in that season that God is far away. Well, if that is you, whether you felt that way in the past, you're feeling that way right now, or you may feel that way in the future, I've got some good news for you today. Newsflash! You are not alone. You are not a bad person because you feel that way. Because at the very scene of our text this morning, a prophet of the Lord felt distant, even to the point where he contemplated taking his life. Not only did Elijah feel that way, but even if we fast forward to the New Testament, even God in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, whilst on the cross in his humanity, he asked the question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So even Jesus in his humanity on the cross felt forsaken in that moment. So I believe it's not aloof for the believer in the Lord Jesus to go through seasons in life where we feel in that moment a sense of disconnect, a sense of distance from God. You see, when you love someone, friends, and you deeply love someone, and you're invested in getting to know someone, the last thing that you want when you love someone is to be distant from them. For example, even now in my life, my wife has gone back to Norfolk to spend some time with her mum before we go away. It's her birthday. It was her birthday yesterday. And just for the past few days, it's felt rather strange being alone. My wife is just the joy of the house. She's always bubbly. And I ain't going to lie, it's been a bit strange the past couple of days, being all alone. Because when you love someone, you don't want to be distant from them. You miss their presence. You miss that sense of closeness. You miss that bond. And sometimes, even in our walks with God, with the divine, we know that God loves us and we love him and we desire to love him more and more each day. Yet sometimes the ebbs and the flows of life, the ups and the downs of life, can cause and create a sense of distance from him. We know he's always there, but sometimes the problems in life can make us feel as if he's not there. Now, if we are going to overcome this distance, then I believe Elijah's story is a wonderful lesson for us to grapple with today. It's almost like a couple that has reached the end and they say, you know what, we're done. They want to end the relationship, end the marriage, or even a platonic friendship says we've come to the end, we can no longer walk together. Oftentimes when couples or friends or whatever it may be come to that realization, the realization and that moment of ending it is just the tip of the iceberg. But oftentimes if you speak to them, they will say that they felt distant from the person a long time before they came to that decision. It was like a build-up. Really, the divorce is not the time you signed the paper, but really that took place even a long time before, because that distance was already there. And for Elijah, the Lord's prophet, church, when he got to this state where he said, you know what, I want to end it, Elijah didn't come to that decision just willy-nilly. It was a gradual build-up, where it was problem after problem after problem, challenge after challenge after challenge, that it reached a point where it got too much for the prophet. It was too much for him to bear. Then he came to the realization that, Lord, I've had enough of this. I'm through with this. And how many times even in our own lives do we feel that way? We go through things in life and we say, okay, I can deal with that. Next one comes, all right, okay, that didn't feel too good, but okay. Then it happens again and you're thinking, now, this is too much now. Father, this is too much. I can't take anymore. I've had enough. And that's exactly the state that Elijah found himself in here in the text. He reached a point, church, where his problems became overwhelming to the extent where he wanted to end his life. But I want to encourage you today that if you are feeling in that sense of distance and that your problems are mounting up and becoming insurmountable, I want to encourage you today, do not give up. Do not throw in the towel, because your Heavenly Father is not so distant as you suppose. But God is near even to the brokenhearted. And the enemy would even want us to allow our struggles and our problems to overwhelm us, that we'd stray away from God and walk away from him. But I believe that if we would just hold on and hold on to God's unchanging hand, then in due season, he will show us that he is very near even to the brokenhearted. C.S. Lewis, he quotes, "There are far, far better things ahead than anything that we could leave behind." You may feel as if you've come to the end. You may feel as if your problems are too much to bear and there is no way out, no light at the end of the tunnel. But I'm here to encourage you today that as long as you are still breathing, the grace of God is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient in every season. God will not abandon his heritage. He is able to see you through. We've just sang the song. He is a miracle worker. That is who you are. Hold on to that promise, church. I don't know who this is for, but could it be that like Elijah, you're saying, I'm about to give up. I'm about to throw in the towel. But I'm here to encourage you today that the Lord is for you. And he's encouraging you today. Don't give up, because I am here. I see and I know. And I'm ready to minister to you if you will open your heart to me. Amen. So I want to, in closing, offer you just three situations here from the text that I believe we can apply to our everyday lives from this story of Elijah. What happens when we want to throw in the towel? What happens when we feel distant from our Creator? Well, the first thing that I believe we must learn, number one, here it is, the complication: don't elevate your problems above God. Can we say that together? Don't elevate your problems above God. Sometimes when we're driving, those of us who drive, and you happen to be driving behind a large vehicle, like a lorry, sometimes you'll notice that there is a sign, a sticker, and it says, if you can't see my mirrors, then I can't see you. In other words, if you're driving too close behind, then that is problematic for the driver of that large vehicle, because he or she is unable to safely see the car behind. And in the same vein, church, sometimes our problems in life, our struggles and our challenges can appear up close and personal. So close and overwhelming that our worries and concerns in life are blocking the view of God. It just seems as if all we can see ahead, beside, behind is the problems. And they're so close that it's restricting and blocking our view of God. He's there, but our focus is so much on the problem that we're investing so much time in the problem that we take our eyes off our heavenly Father. And such was the case for Elijah. Jezebel's threat to him became so insurmountable that all he could see was the threat. She said, I'm going to wipe Elijah out by this time tomorrow. If not so, then the false gods, she said, let them deal with me if I don't end the prophet's life. And you know, it's interesting to me because when you read the story of Elijah, Elijah went through so much. From having the courage to go to King Ahab and pronounce that there will be no more rain in the land all by himself. From having to follow the voice of God into a ravine to be supplied with food and nourishment all by himself at the word of the Lord. And then he was told to get up from there and travel to Zarephath. And there will be a widowed woman with a son. And she will take care of your needs. Only to discover that the widow in question only had enough supplies for one last final meal. She said, I'm going to provide this meal for me and my son. That's all we've got, prophet. And after we eat this, we're going to die. So how can you tell me that the Lord has told you that you need to come here and I'm going to provide for your dietary needs? But yet still, God performed a miracle and there was enough through the little that they had to go around for Elijah and the family too. But that was not the end, because the son, the widowed son, became severely ill, even to the point of death. And she really was upset with the prophet. She said, how have you come here? Is it because of my sins that you have come to judge me and to kill my son? But Elijah in that moment prayed to God, and the son was revived back to life. And then that wasn't the end. Elijah then had to go back to Ahab, and there he summoned the prophets of Baal and of Asherah to a showdown on Mount Carmel. And there you'll find that Elijah, all by himself, faith in God, was over to overcome the 400 prophets of Baal and the over 450 prophets of Asherah, all by himself. And I believe, church, that the threat from Jezebel, after all of that he went through, was just the tip of the iceberg. It was as if, no, I've had enough now. I've been through too much now. This is too much. But I believe that Elijah's story is relevant for us today, because despite the fact that Elijah had been through so much, Elijah had a wonderful testimony that each and every problem, each and every situation, God brought him through. And I'm here to encourage you that your problem may seem big on paper, but God has the power to bring you through. Even if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 problems, 6, 7, 8, there is no problem that is greater than our God. Hallelujah. But secondly, penultimately, not only should we recognize that the problem should never overcome to the point that they become bigger than God, but secondly, determine to remember past wins. Sometimes when we analyze our bodies, when I look at my own body, I see some scars. The scars is a reminder of what we went through in the past. When we look back to our cuts and our bruises and our scars, it reminds us of what we went through. It reminds us that although back then was painful, it did not take us out. And we're still here to tell the story. But for a moment, Elijah, he forgot the past wins. All that I just explained that he went through, he forgot how God had delivered him and provided for him and blessed him with miracles that no man or woman could ever do. He took his focus off the past wins, the past track record that God had blessed him in his life, and he allowed the threat of Jezebel to be in his view. And I want to encourage each and every one of us today, when you're going through something that is challenging in this season of your life, look back to what God has done for you in the past. You have a testimony of how God has brought you through before. And if he brought you through before, then he is the same God that can bring you through today. Hallelujah. So the challenge is remembering God's faithfulness in the past, with past trials and challenges, is a great source of encouragement for what we may face in the present. Because God is faithful and his mercies are new every morning. But finally, not only should we remember past wins, not only should we never allow our problems to block our view of God, but finally this morning, we should decide to look forward with hope. Decide to look forward with hope. In other words, yes, we recognize that what we're going through right now is painful, but we recognize that weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. And we serve a God, not a God of doom and gloom, but because of the resurrection, we are people of the resurrection. And that means that tomorrow is a wonderful possibility of new life, new hope, and a new trajectory that is made possible through God. Elijah, if he really wanted to end it, and if God answered his prayer that he took his life that day, then we would never go on to read in 2 Kings of how Elisha, this young protege, would come on the scene and be able to ask of Elijah, give me a double portion of your anointing. I'm here to encourage you, don't abort your future based on what you are going through right now. God has a great future in store for you. Yes, the problem may seem insurmountable today, but I'm here to encourage you that if you hold on to God, he will reveal in the future that he has a great plan and purpose for your life. And if Elijah were to end his life under that broom tree, then there would have been no Elisha. And I'm here to encourage you today that younger generations are looking to us. They are looking at how we cope with our problems. They are looking at how we deal with adversity. They are looking at how we deal with trials and difficult moments in our lives. And our young people are looking up to us and they're wondering, how do they go through what they're going through and yet still remain connected and faithful to God? Young people are looking for some examples. So we can't quit on life or quit on God because we have an example to lead to our young people that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah. So my final challenge today, like Elijah, don't allow your problems to hinder your fellowship with God or to halt the work of God in store for you in the future. In closing today, Nathan, I hear what you're saying, but how do we overcome the sense of distance? Yes, thank God Elijah came through. He didn't end his life. But what about my present situation today? I'm here to encourage you in closing, church, that sometimes the enemy and even our flesh, whenever we are faced with difficulty in our lives, in our humanity, sometimes we allow the problem to drive us away from God, that our prayer lives and our communion with God wanes. But I want to encourage you today, when you're going through seasons of difficulty and challenge, allow yourself to draw even closer to God in prayer. Because could it be that God is trying to speak in this season? You're thinking it's a season of distance because of the problem, but could it be God is saying, no, yes, the problem's there, but I want to speak to you in such a special way in this season that my presence and my power will be made known to you in your situation. And that's exactly what happened to Elijah. When you read further down, he recognized that the still small voice was there all along. If we would just get away from the noise, focus on that still small voice. I'm here to encourage you that that still small voice is available for you today. All you have to do is tune into him, listen to him. He is near and he is present. He sees and he knows, and yes, he cares. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we recognize in a state of transparency that yes, like Elijah, we do feel at times in our walks with you a sense of distance. Yes, we're honest, Lord, that at times we allow those problems and we focus on them too much to the point where it blocks our view and restricts our view of you. But I pray for us today that, Father, we would just release those problems to you. That, Father, we would not seek to end our lives or to abort our futures, but we would give our problems to you today. And like Elijah, allow us to hear that still small voice, to hear you speak clearly, word of encouragement to uplift our souls in times of difficulty. Lord, we pray that for our sister, DeLacy, at this time. We pray, Lord, for the entire family, that, Father, they would experience your still small voice even now, that your presence would overshadow them, and that in this time of grief, that they would know that you are very near. We pray that for many others who are bereaving at this time, in a state of bereavement. We thank you that through your word, that blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we pray that you would comfort each and every one now who is mourning under the sound of my voice. For those who are watching online, we pray that your peace that surpasses all understanding would reach and impact every soul even now. We thank you that you have a great future ahead of us. We thank you that you have called us to a bright future and a great destiny. And we thank you that you are the great God who will see us through these challenges, and you will never leave nor forsake us. So we just thank you now and continue to lead and guide us as we cling on to you, our firm foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back as we prepare to close the service. Hallelujah. praise the Lord. It is well with my soul, despite the problem, despite what we're going through. Because of Jesus, we can sing and say, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we draw this service to a close, again, please do join us for tea and coffee after the service. If this is your first time here today, we certainly thank God for you and pray that you've been blessed today by the service and all those who are watching online. And I received, as we close, a word here from one of our members. And if this applies to you, then this is for you today. My son, I have called you before, and I am calling you again. Come to me. Come to me. Amen. As we close out today, I want to close with a benediction, a little different today. This is from a song by Jonathan McReynolds, and it just fits in perfectly with the message today that we should not allow our problems to cause us to give up on God and to give up with life. And it's a song by Jonathan McReynolds called God is Good. And it says, may your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God. And may your battles end the way they should. And may your bad days prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is good. Amen. Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Be blessed now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.